Are you a therapist, a business owner, or both? Hi there, this is Laurieette Hughes of Four Leg Rehab Incorporated, your place for online canine rehab education. And in today's audio, this is what I want to talk about, is being the therapist, what that means, being the business owner, what that means, or are you both? And where this started from is I had my acupuncture massage treatment today. She's both a licensed acupuncturist and a massage therapist, so I get both. It's awesome. Anyways, I was in there seeing her today, and we were talking about being business owners or being therapists, and she was saying how, anyways, I don't actually know how we got onto this topic, but she was saying she was really happy not to be a business owner, or rather that, you know, she worked in the clinic, and so she could really focus on the technique, on the skill. And it was interesting, so I thought, you know what, this would make a really good audio for people to think about. So where I start with this, when I started writing down my notes, what I'm thinking about in this. So first off, you know, if you're looking at, do you want to be a business owner, or do you have to be a business owner? So for example, if you're a therapist, you can, you know, are you working for someone else in a clinic? And in which case, you're not the business owner. If you're a business owner of a center that hires more than just yourself, then you're a business owner. And if you're both, maybe you're a solo entrepreneur, right? Sorry, you're a solopreneur, and in which case you do a bit of both. You have to be the business owner, the marketer, the everything for your own practice as a therapist. So with all of these, and also I think it's important not just who you are now, but who do you want to become or not become, right? So do you want to be a business owner? Do you not want to be a business owner? Are you happy in the solopreneur? Are you happy as a non-owner therapist? So where I start off with is, you know, have you analyzed your strengths and weaknesses as to, you know, what are you good at? Are you good at some business skills? Do you have an interest in business and marketing? Okay. And have you actually done some soul searching to decide what kind of a practitioner you want to be, right? So this is where when I'm talking to my massage therapist and she's like, I don't want to own a business. I don't want that headache. It's like, good. You know, she's looked into herself and thought, I don't want that. I want to just do the treatment, and there's satisfaction, huge satisfaction in that. And the other thing to ask yourself is what kind of a lifestyle you're wanting or willing to adopt or accept, okay? So with all of that as my kind of preceding preamble to this, what I ended up doing is creating two lists. So one is, you know, being a business owner, right? Why do you choose to be a business owner? And so what I put down is, you know, you may want to grow your business, grow your impact, right? So in my clinic, we wanted to grow the impact. We wanted to make a political statement about physical therapists doing physical therapy on animals. So part of my why I do what I do and why the Canine Fitness Center exists is a political statement as well. Perhaps you enjoy building something and or you want to create a legacy, which is also part of my why I would create a business, okay? Perhaps you wanted to have an impact, to be bigger than what you can do on your own. And I would have to say that is also why I have the Canine Fitness Center, but it's also why I teach. And teach all over the world, because I figure, you know what, I am one person treating one dog at a time, but I have the ability, either via the Canine Fitness Center, to have multiple dogs treated and see the benefits of physical rehabilitation, and also to teach all over the world so that more therapists have more skills and are offering more to animals, and I have a huge impact that way. And that is a part of my why. But you also have to decide, are you willing to take on the headaches of business ownership to achieve your goals, you know, 1 through 4. So the wanting to grow, the impact, the creating a legacy, and doing, you know, affecting more than what you can do as one person. So achieving those goals and or the chance to make more money than being a fee-for-service practitioner only. And then, because my therapist that work the same amount of hours as I do make more money than I do. But I suppose I am achieving goals 1 through 4. If not, and I'm not becoming rich at that. Oh well, I'm still achieving goals 1 through 4, and apparently I'm still doing it, so that is a big why for me. Now, if you look at being a practitioner, right, are you content in being practitioner only? Really? And so in here, you think about, do you enjoy the doing of your craft, right? You know what? There is so much job satisfaction in doing canine rehab, right? Perhaps you enjoy the solving of the puzzle, right? This is what this dog looks like. What is my, you know, my physical diagnosis, my physical therapy diagnosis, what do I think I need to treat in order to make this dog better, right? So it's not your medical diagnosis, it's your physical diagnosis, and that's the stuff that owners care about. Is my dog limping anymore? Does my dog look like he's in pain? Can the dog jump into the car? Not, is his cruciate blown or not, right? That's your medical diagnosis. Our physical therapy diagnosis, I'm getting sentimental here. They're the big why. The stuff people, pardon me, give a shit about, right? What can my dog do? Is my dog happy, right? That's what we do with physical rehabilitation. We're freaking awesome. Okay, and do you enjoy being the one that makes the difference to that dog, and not only that dog, but that owner and that their lives, right? It's huge. And then, you know, you don't want the headache of business ownership. You don't want to be the person who has to manage people, and you don't want to do the marketing. And I would say, you know, the bonus of being the therapist, being the employee, is you walk away from your work and you can shut off that part of your brain and you can have a whole weekend to enjoy yourself. And I can't think of the last time I have done that. So, you know, but that's my sacrifice. That's what I'm willing to take on as the business owner. So those are my two lists. And I would think as you're trying to decide what you want in life, who you want to be, the lifestyle you're willing and wanting to have, think about those two categories, right? Okay. So then what I started looking at was, you know, what happens in each of these scenarios, right? Because you've got the business owner, you've got the being a practitioner. You also have the solopreneurs, right? The people, you have a home-based business or you're mobile, right? That's a whole different thing because you are both business owner and the practitioner, right? So what I looked at is you create a seesaw or a teeter-totter, right? And on one end is business owner, and the other end is practitioner. And so to look at what each of those scenarios would look like, okay? So if you're the business owner, right, and you want to be the business owner, and it doesn't really matter if you're talking about, you know, a rehab business, or if it's owning a physical therapy business, or if it's owning a vet clinic, right? You need to learn business skills. And I've talked about this in different audios. And so what I suggest there is you need to take on as much information as you can. Learn as much as you can. Learn business and learn your marketing. Okay? And then you're going to implement the different things one by one, especially from a marketing standpoint. You've got to implement one by one. You can't do it all at once. You don't have the capacity. But implement things one by one. You're going to use systems so that you can automate and then hopefully grow. And then you have to be poised and ready so that you can change and adapt as necessary. You have to be proactive about, you know, here's my future. Here's what I'm looking at. Here's what I want to create. Because that's an entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs love to create, to build, to do things, you know, change things. So you have to be proactive in that way, but be ready to swiftly react as need be. So something goes sideways, you've got to deal with it, right? So yesterday, the shockwave at the clinic was losing power. So at the end of my day, instead of going home, I got out the manual, looked it up, figured out how to take apart the head, checked the bullet of the shockwave, emptied the canister at the back, and anyways, I've looked up what it needs to be, sent an email off to the manufacturer because I think I need to order a part. So all of that happened at the end of my actual work day, and whatever, taking up half an hour to an hour, half an hour to 45 minutes of my time in and, you know, above and beyond actually taking patients. So that's the reality, right? I'm trying to be swiftly reactive so that the shockwave machine will be ready for treating more dogs. So it becomes hard to find your balance, right? Because in that, if we look at our seesaw or our teeter-totter, right, business owners at one side, practitioners at the other side, as a business owner where you're managing a clinic, you're managing more than just yourself, you can't be 50-50. You can't. You really have to then slide more towards business owner. So you as the practitioner, you're going to sit, if you still want to take patients and treat patients, you're sitting closer to the fulcrum. Right? So your practitioner hours are going to be about half that of your business owner hours. And it might get less and less and less practitioner hours as you get busier and busier and your business owner activities take on more and more and more. And of course, as you get bigger, you need office managers and things like that. But the business owner side really takes over. And this is what I was saying, you know, that you never have a weekend where you don't think about your business. That doesn't happen, really. So I think that becomes the hardest thing in that business owner category is transitioning away from or reducing your client interaction, your practitioner standpoint, so that you can be a better business owner, so that your business functions well, so that people are happy, clients are happy, your employees are happy, staff, therapists, everybody else is happy. In order for that to happen, you can't be behind the closed doors treating dogs the entire time. So, anyways, next, number two, if you are the practitioner, okay, so you've got in through here, you've got your practitioner that works for someone else, and you've got your solo entrepreneur practitioner. So, your practitioner that works for someone else. So, in here, your practitioner focused is heavy. So on your seesaw, your teeter-totter, the P side is way down on the ground. You are practitioner heavy. But to recognize that there will still be a need. And here as a business owner, I'm going to tell those of you who are practitioners, I need practitioners to do a little bit of clinic related marketing. And whether that's, you know, Facebook Live videos, whether it's teaching courses, whether it is going and meeting vets at vet clinics, things like that. I need that from my practitioners in order to help market them, okay? And there's going to be a need for practitioners to do some self-marketing, right? To have, you know, let's say do a talk so that a certain dog group knows who you are, and then they're like, oh wow, this is great. I want to go see that practitioner. I run into troubles when I'm the one doing the talk, and then people are like, oh, can I see you? And I'm like, no, I don't take new patients. Oh, I'm like, no, you are better off to come to my clinic with the therapist I've trained. But if one of my therapists gives that talk, then absolutely come see that therapist, right? Anyways, and there's also a need for client retention. So if you're seeing patients, it is up to you in part to keep your caseload busy. So it is your responsibility to call clients back and look into your fall off, client fall off, and why have they stopped coming? That's on you. So you are responsible for your client retention. What can you do there? So those three things really are about as close to the business owner side of things that you really need to get. But for the most part, you can focus on your clinical skills, right? So you can take all the courses and do all of that and the clinical skills side of things, and that's a good life. That's good. That's fun. That's enjoyable. Okay. So, however, now you get practitioner 3 or 2B, whatever you want, who is the solo entrepreneur practitioner. So you're people that are doing a house call business or a home-based business, but basically it's, you know, you, and you. You are the chief, the cook, and the bottle washer. You do everything. And it's in this regard, you need to have a little bit of business sense and business savvy to get started. And not only to getting started is hard, let's just say. It's hard because you are way more business owner focused at that point in time, right? So your teeter-totter is tipped a little bit more to the business owner side as you're getting started, but also then to keep going and to stay afloat. So your teeter-totter is going to go back and forth, right? So at some points in time, you're going to be way more business owner, and the activities that you do are more business owner. And then you get a nice influx of cases, and then you tip more to practitioner side, and you're doing, and you're more practitioner side. But then, as it happens, things ebb and flow, and then you get slow again. And that's when you're like, okay, what are the things I need to do as a business owner to increase my caseload again? So I think it's important then for practitioners that are solo entrepreneurs to recognize that you will be going up and down and back and forth, and not to get discouraged by that, to recognize that that is totally how it is as a solopreneur. Solopreneur sounds fun. And with that, I think you need to recognize, you know, what's your comfortable balance with that? So how much do you want to grow? You don't have to do everything from a marketing standpoint, right? So what I would say is you're going to have to select easy to maintain and organize business solutions, right? So how are you taking payments? How are you charting? How are you marketing? How are you and taking time to send notes back to the referring veterinarians? So all of those sorts of things are your business components, okay? And you're going to try and keep things as streamlined and as simple and organized as possible. But then number 2 is you're going to pick your key marketing strategies. And I have lots of marketing strategies ideas in the other audios you can listen to. And the marketing video that I also have on Foreleg. But what I would say for the solo entrepreneur is you're going to have to figure out what are the things you're going to do on a regular basis. So the things that you always do this, or you're maybe always at this trade show, let's say. You always have a booth at this trade show. You are always sending thank you notes to your referring veterinarians when they send you a case. Those sorts of things. Maybe those are your regular things. And then you're going to have the stuff that you do during your busy times, right? So your busy times, you're not actually spending a lot of extra time on marketing because you're actually too busy. So your busy times, you know, you're not going to have as many things that you do. You just do the regular stuff and you don't add anything extra. But during the slow times, you need to have strategies for during the slow times to figure out, how am I going to increase my caseload? Because right now I'm slow. And little tip, those are the times that I found calling my past clients, doing the fall-off reports and figuring out who I haven't seen for a while, calling to see how those dogs are doing. That usually did me very well for increasing my caseload again. And those were also times where you could visit vet clinics, you could do some increased marketing, you could do some more Facebook Lives, you could do talks to dog groups, those sorts of things. So you basically have a pool a pool of your regular things and then your slow time things. And recognizing that when times are slow, you know, you do more. When times are busy, you do less. And then there's the things that you're like, these are the things I always do. Okay? And like I said, just recognizing that as a solopreneur, you are going to be going back and forth between business owner and practitioner, business owner and practitioner. And just to recognize that's quite normal. So nothing to worry about. But anyways, I hope that this little pep talk helps you from maybe being confused and overwhelmed to helping you with your life strategy and your work-life balance and recognizing and really asking yourself questions, you know, what is it I want? How is it I want to function and how do I want to work? Anyways, that's what I came up with. That was my inspiration for today. And I hope that maybe helps some of you a little bit. Anyways, let me know what you're thinking. If you have any ideas that you want to share, or you like this or whatnot, just give me a shout. I'd be happy to hear from you. And that is Lori@fourleg.com. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks for listening. Until next time, cheers.